So what is heaven? Or where is heaven? Yes, very good. It's up there? Okay, it's up there. Okay, anyone else? Where is heaven and what is heaven like? Something about heaven. So we come to church every Sunday. Why? Adults, think about that too. Why do we come to church? And you said, what is it in heaven that we really, really want to be there? Why? You don't have to raise up your hand, just say something. So, are we going to heaven? Yes. So, what is heaven like? Every time I come here, folks, if you're visiting, by the way, welcome to our faith church. I'm Pit Winhaloka, one of the elders. I'm not the pastor, but I'm blessed to be here. Our pastor is in the islands, enjoying the islands in the sun. So, welcome to our church. Going back, what do you think about heaven? Hey, if you're saying you're going to heaven, I better be up there already. Every single day should be there. So what is heaven like? I don't know. Okay, so adults, I'm going to walk a little bit here. So, are you going to heaven? Okay, so what is heaven like? It's wonderful. It's streets of gold. And folks there, they're saying blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure. Huh? There is no sin. Absolutely. So heaven is a wonderful thing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us this morning. Help us to realize heaven in order to live on earth. Ask that you be with us. Help me to bring the word that you help me to study. And more important, that I apply and everyone will apply that. That heaven is a blessing from you and that we are a master from above. In Jesus' name, amen. So the reading is Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, and 15 all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, 15, I know I broke it up, 15 to 17, and 18 to 4, 1. That's just the whole thing. Okay? So I'll start reading. My glasses are not very clear, so I'll try my best. I lost my better glasses. Okay? Starting with verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly master in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, Everyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and this is no, and there is no favoritism. Master, provide your slave with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. My topic for today is, we are all working for that great master, or for the great master. So think about that, okay? So Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote to the church in Philippi, Ephesus, and Colossae, and also he wrote a letter to Philemon. Basically, these letters were to encourage them. That's something. He's in prison, encouraging these church folks as well as Philemon. Now, the leader in Colossae was Epaphras. He came to prison in Rome to tell Paul about the status of the church there. He came with two news, good news and bad news. Good news, the church was growing. They were bearing fruit. That's a good thing. Every church should be bearing fruit. If you've been coming to church every single Sunday, and sometimes I do this too when I come up here, I just kind of challenge us a little bit. So every Sunday we come here as a church, we should be growing, not just in number here, but out there. Okay? We should be growing. So that was reported by Epaphras. Bad news. The bad news was there's a new movement. There's a new movement that emphasizes not on Jesus as being supreme. Okay? It has a problem because it created false humility and guilt. This new movement worship angels and not Christ. That's a problem. Angels are not to be worshipped as Christ. Okay? Now, in response to that, Paul sent his co-worker Tychicus to go back and encourage the church with this letter that we're looking at today to the Colossians. Okay? Paul wanted the folks in Colossae church to know that to understand the supreme power of Christ alone. Okay? Not angels or other folks out there. Now remember, Paul is writing to a community that has Jewish background, Jewish tradition, and also Greek philosophy. You kind of create your own thing, the worship statue. So Paul needs to encourage these folks to continue to look above, to see Christ as being supreme. And that's important for us today as well. Okay? So, just exactly how did Paul do that? How did Paul encourage the Colossian church to make sure that they understand that Christ is supreme? Well, the passage says that he started, or the way he introduced this is that they need to make sure, like I say, Christ is supreme. How does he do that? Well, listen to the following verses that Paul used to encourage them to continue to look above, look into heaven. Okay, if you look at chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, it will help us to think about that, to continue to allow Christ to be above all. Okay? It says that Christ, starting in verse 15, is the image of an invincible God. So Christ is God. He's representing God, but he's Christ, he's God himself. Okay? Item number 2 is that Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Oh no, so if these folks are worshiping angels and other forces out there, Christ is above all. He was born before all these created beings or created gods. Okay, so he is the firstborn. And listen, Jesus created everything. And he owes everything, even for your very own lives. Think about that. Jesus owes your lives. Just think about the universe if you are a science guru or whatever. So the heaven and earth are being held together, we always say, by some forces. But it's Christ that holds everything out there, including the very atom in your bodies. He's the one holding them. Okay? He's the beginning and the firstborn. And the fullness of God is within him. Oh boy, got almost everything we need, yeah? Okay? And the last thing that I want to talk about that Paul wants us to remember, the supremacy of Christ, is this. He reconciled things on heaven as well as things below. Okay? He's up there, he's down here. With his blood, he connects us to heaven. He reconciled things from heaven and earth. Okay. So Jesus died on the cross for all of us. There is no need to create new ideas, new regulations that Paul says we should be free from. We should not create any new ideas or regulations out there. There are a lot of things, folks, that we can create to take away the supremacy of Christ. Excuse me, let me drink some water. What are some of those things? What are some of the things that take away our attention from Christ? Anyone? Any movements out there? Anything that just, we know Christ is up there, but some things just continue to take away our attention. What are some of those things? Excuse me? Do you worry, brother? I think I worry more than you, brother. I worry. That's just my... I just worry. Just things that we created to just block the sunshine, per se. And what else is are out there? The folks, I'm sorry, but I pick on people here. I pick on Koreans, especially. Okay? All right. Let's do it. So what are some of the things that we create that just take away some of our identity that so that we cannot really see the supremacy of Christ? The work, thank you, brother. Work, work, work. Work. We need some food on the table, but it's just work. We just think about work all the time. Work at home, work at work, work there, work, work, work. And Christ is not really up there, he's down there. Huh? And also other movements out there, folks, help me out here, help preach today. Yes? Material things, Ross, Kmart, those things, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Or also the other religions, yeah? Other religions, yeah? There are other movements out there. Some Mormons and other movements out there. They're out there. So there's a lot of things that just take away our minds, okay? So think about that. Thank you, folks. You are helping me by saying something. Good. Okay. Now, so we talked about the need to make sure that Christ is supreme because he is. We don't have to keep reminding ourselves because he's already is. But this will help us. So moving on. So, all right, we got the idea. So what do we do? Well, if you see the reading today, emphasis on the family. That's where some of our attention breaks. From the family. That's right. We say work, Mormons, other, but in today's reading, it's the family. The family. What's happening in the family? Well, let's see. Before we get to the family, it's our nature, our old sinful nature. First, Paul said, Christ should be the master of your flesh, your old nature. Let's talk about that. Exactly what we mean by that. Well, the way I look at it, he said, and I'm going to explain. It may be a little confusing, but I'm going to get back to you. Verse 17, I start from the bottom. That's how Paul writes now. He starts from the bottom. He wakes his way up. Then you can understand that way. That's how I see it. So, verse 17, he starts, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to the God, the Father, through him. You see, the unit of thought, when you do a little summary on the Bible, you see a unit of thought. They're coming all the way like facts, and the bottom is your theme. And so the theme is given at the bottom on how to deal with your flesh. So what is it? First 13 to 15, you need to kill yourself first. That's the first thing you need to do. Kill yourself, kill the old nature, mortify yourself first. That's what Paul is trying to do, say it first. But you know what? Can you really take care of your old nature, folks? Really? Can you mortify yourself? It's been hard for me. I said, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop that. But it's been tough. Why is that? It's your old nature. What do you think is the answer for that? It's a new clothing. A new garment is what you need. That's what it says here. A new garment is what you need. I really believe that by making God, or Jesus in this case, become your new garment every day. I really appreciate this nice shirt my wife bought. Where did you get this? Kmart or Ross? It's nice. Macy's. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So she bought me 3 shirts. And I like these local shirts, but so I see some old shirts there, but every time I put it, I feel like I'm just cool, you know? It's just good, you know? But, you know, I'm saying a few words here like that, but if we need to get rid or mortify our old sins, folks, you cannot. You have to start praying. You need to read the Bible. You need to have fellowship. That is how we get rid of our old selves. By putting on a new clothing, which is really the garment with the blood of Christ. And if you look at all of this, it's binded by love. All these things we're talking about is binded by love. This new garment we're talking about. Okay? So that's that, the new garment. So we talked about having Christ be the master of your flesh. Now we're going to move into the family. So we see that Christ should be supreme. We deal with our sin. Now we're going to allow Christ to be the master of our families. Again, starting from the bottom. If you're not sure what I'm trying to say, I can explain later. Okay, so again, whatever you do, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with your heart as if working for the Lord. Verse 24, it is the Lord we are serving. Now, I see a chiasm in this passage, 2 verses. Chiasm is mostly used in poetry where you make this line go like this, another line go like this, and you see what's in the middle, that is your theme. So what's in the middle of these 2 verses, verses 23 and 24? Lord, serving. So in the family, while we're trying to serve each other, we're really serving the master. You got that? We're really serving the master if we try to do love and things in the family level. Okay? Now, verse 19. Wives, by the way, folks, this passage is not just family. If you see toward the end, it's for everyone. I'm going to explain that. But starting with the wives, it says here, wife, submit to your husband. And the way the commentary put it, I studied kind of a little bit. I think it's Matthew Henry. It's not very attractive word that the Bible used. It's like a soldier obeying a general. It's a command. Wife, you have to obey or submit to your husband. And I know this has been very abused throughout the years, even in the islands. A lot of times, wives are treated like doormats in a lot of cultures. And should I say unfortunate? I cannot say unfortunate, but the Bible history and that region where the Bible is made, it just sounds like women and wives are treated kind of unfairly. If they cheat on the husband, they should be stoned to death. Not the husbands. It doesn't say that. But God is good. He has a reason why. Okay? He has a reason why. And in terms of the tradition in the where Paul was writing to Colossians, the household was made of father, mother, even their married sons and their children in the same household. And the wife usually works around the house. I really appreciate the fact that my wife works to support the family. You know, it doesn't mean that they can't work. I don't believe that. So we can thank God for our mothers and wives. Okay? And I know that there's a lot of families who are torn apart because this problem with families, there's a lot of unforgiveness, and things have gone foul in the families a lot of places. Now, husband, maybe you're just sitting there smiling that, oh, my wife needs to submit to me. I'm good. I'm free. Scot-free. Oh, no, folks. You have to love your wives. Okay? The Bible said here. Okay? It says husband loves wives. Just like Christ loves the church. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, this is the same kind of discussion that Paul had to the Ephesians. Same kind of submission, same kind of love. And so we can read both the books and see how it is. Now, let me ask you, has Christ ever abused the church? Christ never abused the church. And so husbands should not abuse that authority that he has. Should love the wives as well. Okay? And in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, it says, live joyfully with your wife all the days of your life. For I would just want to say this too. I'm just so blessed about my parents. I've never heard my mother complain about my father's being authority of the house. Maybe they had problems, but it's just not, I just don't hear it. I just don't see it. Did my dad ever say, I love you to my mom? Never. But is that a problem to me? No. Because they live together, they work together, but it's just a cultural thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's just back home, our parents don't say, I love you. But in this day and age, I believe we have to say, I love you. So anyway, husbands should love their wives, okay? And all the days of our lives, we should, okay? And children, obey your parents. That's where I come here again. Children, you need to obey your parents in the Lord. If your dad said, please take the trash, you should say what? Say, thank you very much. Yes. And if you're playing with those things, what are they called, those things? What's that called? Those metal things. If they said, please put that cell phone down. You have only 1 hour. You should say, thank you. It's time to stop. I'm just saying those because, you know, it's a simple thing like trash and playing those cell phones. If it's time to stop, you really should stop. And you know what? It says, obey your parents, or your obey your parents, because this pleases the Lord. Okay? Now, what happens when your parents tell you something that is not right? What should you do? You shouldn't do it. Because whatever is not right doesn't please the Lord, right? So you shouldn't be doing it. But you should obey your parents, okay? These are very straightforward, common sense messages I'm bringing to you, okay? Now, fathers, do not embitter your children. I grew up also where parents, fathers especially, can be very, very hard on their parents or their children. I see that a lot. So fathers, I'm talking to myself and folks out there sitting there, we should start treating our children with love as well. When we say this, we better follow up with what we said. children are they get angry when we say a promise and we don't do it. Or the way we say things, mom and dads, we can say things in a nicer way. Please take the trash and not, I told you to take the trash. That's not very nice, okay? And imagine that if we keep doing that again and again, it's not very encouraging. Children who are in this kind of atmosphere don't really grow well, okay? And so we need to make sure as folks, parents, mother and father, make sure that we create an atmosphere of love at the home level, okay? And slaves, so what's slave doing here in this family setting? We hear about slavery in the past. It's an ugly thing. It's just bad. I just don't understand. Slave treated like animals, people. But this is not the kind of slavery we're talking about. These folks are staying with families. Sometimes they're compensated for their work. So they live with the family. So Paul is trying to tell these slaves too that they should serve their masters. Even if they're not watching, the masters are not watching. Okay? So, folks, submission is everyone's business. We should always submit to the Lord and therefore easier to serve one another. Okay? And finally, Christ must be the master of your work. Christ must be the master everywhere, not just family. Where do you work, folks? I'm going to go to you and ask you, and tell me about your boss. Nobody wants to see me. So, Mr. Sorrow, do you work? Yeah, do you work? She works. Who's your boss? Yeah. Right. But I work at Guam EPA. And I, you know what? I've been working for the government for many years. And a lot of times we cry a little bit about Gulf Guam and our bosses. And I just want to thank God. I have a very good boss for many years. Your work can be a place where the word of God can be spread just by being a good worker. Even Christians, I heard about college students going to a coffee shop, and the owner of the shop said, it's a Bible college you're attending. You know what? My worst customers are those students from that Bible school. It's because they complain a lot. I'm talking about work, but just about anything we do, we should do it for God. Because people are watching us. People are checking us about these Christians who are heading to heaven. We should be tracking people with us to heaven, not being a very bad example to the folks around us. So starting today, folks, this is the day of salvation. It's time to submit to God in love. Husband, love your wives. Wife, also love your husband. Children, obey your parents. Everybody should be putting Christ as our master. Amen? So that's what we need to be doing. If you didn't remember anything I said today, remember to serve God. He is your master anywhere, everywhere, anytime. Okay? Thank you, folks, for taking care of our children, for doing part with Sunday school. Do it not as a voluntary thing. You're doing a commitment to Christ. We just closed down the nursery downstairs. It's because it's hard to get volunteers. We're working for the great master, folks. And so, let's keep working at the relationship, working with our flesh, because by allowing Christ to be the master of our lives, we will therefore easy to submit to one another in love. If Christ is not your master, it's very difficult. Finally, I think I did some kind of summary in what I just said. But finally, folks, are you going to heaven? If you are folks saying that in you? And if you are, do you know when you're going to heaven? What is heaven like? How about your work? Are you a good example at your work? Even if you're single, are you being a good, godless, single person that allows God to be your supreme being? Are we just coming here, attending church Sunday after Sunday? I hope the answer is I'm doing everything that I should be doing. There are folks here maybe who are here for the first time, who are not saved maybe. There are folks here who are ready to share their faith with you anytime. So if you are not sure if you're going to heaven, this thing that we all talked about, that is a four spiritual law that used to be called four spiritual law that Canvas Crusade had, is the four laws. It's about how we can become a Christian. It's not just the job of the Canvas Crusade to do that. It is your job. It is not at the Canvas. It's your own heart, your life. You should be. Because you're going to heaven. We better start smelling. We better start looking. We better like acting like we're going to heaven today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for being our supreme God. We just ask that you be with us to help love you, submit to you, therefore submit to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I've changed a